Blog Talk Radio.
Hi. Good morning. It is so beautiful today. Well, it was beautiful yesterday. If you're still alive, it was beautiful as well. Welcome to the Hour for Power, the Hour of Power show with Dr. Copertino. Hi, you guys. Listen, we're back at it again. We're going to be talking about the penis factor, part two. Why in the world do I feel dead without a man? Sounds like some Akashic record thinking passed down through generations. Couldn't read or write. They said, when you get up, you got to get out of here and marry. Hallelujah. Made marriage all that and more. Made marriage bigger than life. But before we get into the actual subject topic, you know, the routine, let's have a word of prayer. Oh, God in heaven, we love you. We need you. Can't get along without you. We've tried and failed. Look at our lives, a complete mess. And because of you, and because of your Son, and because of your Holy Ghost Spirit, we're able to sit now and listen to what thus saith the Lord. Let us hear something, good God from heaven, that is going to cause us to want to run and leap and joy. And rejoice and tell a dying world that your Son really did come down through 42 generations. He really did walk on this earth. He really did face mean men who spit in his face, beat him, whipped him all night long. And then he was led to Calvary, Golgotha, place of the skull, to give up the ghost. He said, it is finished. And it was. And we know you can finish all chaos in our life. You can finish all mayhem in our life. And that's why we're here, to find out how. Bless us, Lord, for the effort. Knowing that we're dust, have mercy, please. Have mercy, mercy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, God. The penis factor, part two. Why do I feel dead without a man? You know, Satan is using sex as a powerful tool to destroy the human race. AIDS, various forms of cancers, premature death, illness, a morbid desire for oral and anal sex has just about destroyed the human body, making it difficult to serve God in spirit and in truth. What is the answer to this diabolical plot? My goodness, to destroy humanity, to taint humanity, all for a few mere moments of joy in the name of sex. How can one put the sexual union in its rightful place and rise up and then rise up to do the will of God? Well, Grandma used to say that the root of all evil lie between a man's legs. Isn't that something? You know what? I'm not going to repeat that again because I know the Bible says the root of all evil is the misuse of money. But Grandma was on it. I think she was. Is this really so, though? I think it is. Well, this week's Hour for Power show will share valuable insights that may save your life and even the lives of your children. So as you can see, this topic for this morning is going to be really slanted toward women. Women, get up out the bedroom. Come on. Come on up out of there, because we have something to say here today that's going to help you. When you feel bad, don't think about sex. When you think you're losing your mind, don't think about laying down up under a man. When you think you've seen the last of the good times, don't drown yourself in sex. There are some other things you need to do before you can even perform that act in spirit and in truth. I know if I was a man, I'd want a woman up under me that was guided by spirit and in truth. She's going to perform the truthful manner and like a spiritual goddess from days gone by. Hey, what a woman and what a relationship and what a feeling. But that's not the focus of this lesson. Many women feel that without a man, which translates really to without a sexual union. And I'm saying that because many women feel that without a man and sex, they're nothing. But that sexual union is what women tend to put first on the table. Many women with these one-night stands, they don't want to get to wait to know them. Well, I'm a mother and I have a son. I would be interested in the woman really loving the man child, the son, first, and then thinking about how he might be able to perform. See, if you fall in love with love, you're not going to make the mistake of going after penis. You're going to put the penis in his rightful place by looking at the man for who he is and what he has to offer in the natural world. If he has some shortcomings, has he murdered 10 and nobody's found out? If he's slapped his kids around for 5, 15, 25 years, you want to get to know the man. You want to get to know when he turns his head to the left what he's thinking, when he holds up his right hand what he's thinking. I had a pastor that, and I told him, you know, when you hold up your left hand in preaching, I know where you're going. And that's studying the man. So most women, we need to study our man, anyone that we're interested in. We need to give these relationships time before we start jumping in and out of bed, because sex, being as powerful as it is, it would have to have some influence over the human heart and mind, because it's part of the procreation process, sleeping with a man and becoming pregnant. That's part of procreation. So that's very powerful. That's a very powerful being coming into existence. So sex is a very powerful tool. It's a creative tool. So before we throw in the towel, because he has made us feel good, maybe have all these orgasms and what have you, but you got to get it back up out the bed on your feet. And that's what you want to be concerned with first and foremost. First and foremost, you want to make sure that during the daylight hours and most of the nighttime, that this is the person for you, that this is the person that beyond all shadow of a doubt is going to be someone that you can count on, that you can talk with, walk with, laugh with, because your waking hours is the hours of revelation. That's when the light shines in on everything, every act, and every situation that we as women are in, that we come into. So we've got to keep sex in a natural place. The almighty penis might be almighty, but remember, it is from last week's lesson, it is a tool of creation. It is the means to have a sexual union, to produce children. Yes, pleasure, of course, but you all know the pain that's going to be in the aftermath. So we've got to get our heads back on straight and realize that our lives don't evolve around a man. They evolve around us being a helpmate to the man. The Bible says that when men and women were created, man and woman, God said it is not good for man to be alone. So, there's a problem there. And most men don't like being alone. Most men like to be babied, cuddled, and told 24/7, I love you, I need you. I love you, need you. I don't want to get along without you, yeah, yeah, yeah. They want to hear that. And if they don't hear it, they surely want it to be seen and shown by their mate. So we've got to put and keep the sexual union in its rightful place. And the reason being is because right now there's an epidemic among black women in the community with HIV and AIDS. I know a pastor told me every time he sees an older woman coming in with a younger man carrying her briefcase or whatever, he says, look out, it is problems. And he also told me he has so many older women in his church filled with AIDS, HIV. He said a lot of the men that come out of prison, hungry and broke, brokenhearted, start going around from church to church, especially in the black community, looking for some old woman, older woman, elder woman to, I guess, convince her that she's beautiful and she's still got it going on. Next thing he said, you know, he's living in her house. Her house is paid for. She got retirement money coming in, pension money, SSI money. Oh, my God. It's making my head swim just to talk about it. And then he ends up there in the house under fraudulent personality. Isn't that awful? And then here she swaggers in six months or a year later reporting to pastor that she has AIDS. So we've got to be careful, but that's only because we have not put this sexual union in its right place, and we are the ones feeling that we can't go on or we can't make it unless we have a man. Oh, yes, you can. And most men today want a superstar woman. They don't want nobody that's just of an average nature. And I tell my women friends, if you're ordinary, he's not going to want you. Put on some crazy hat if you're trying to attract a man. Start dressing like someone that a real man would want to get involved in. But again, we've got to get this situation together when it comes to these sexual relationships. Most of us know, as women, if we're sick, mean-spirited, potentially deadly, what do you think you're going to attract? We're only going to attract that which is what we are. But if you're happy and jovial, in love with God, want to do the right thing, love children, love to take care of the elderly, love to look out for those less fortunate, you know what's going to happen? You're going to attract a man just like that. You're going to attract a man of your same nature. You're going to attract a man just like you. Just like you, the same identical thing. So this is a good start right now to not feeling dead without a man. A man don't want to come into a relationship just because of sex. I've heard many men say, "Doctor, you know what? I'm not a sex machine. All she wants is for me to get on top of her. She really doesn't want me." So you already know you're going to have a problem. Men recognize the power they have. I just said, Grandma used to say, Grandma used to say that the root of all evil lies between a man's legs. Well, she was on to something. But I think the misuse and the evil expectation of what is going to happen once this sexual union occurs, I think that may be what she actually meant. But never no mind. The thing is, you have a lot of women that are sacrificing themselves, their homes, their children, just for that man. You go in the store on the first of the month in most of these low-income, medium-income communities. You see women pushing food baskets full of steaks and premium food, and then they're getting all these big boxes of this cheap food, top ramen and cup of noodles for kids. And the man walking around there in expensive jewelry and looking like he's on a drug high. And she's walking through the store many times, huge, you know, very large women, long orange fingernails, long weave hair where you can see it's a weave. A total embarrassment, of course, ushering these men around because they figure at nighttime they're going to come get on top of them. Women, please wake up. You were created for more than that. I just said that the Bible said, read Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. Helper, we're supposed to help them, not be allowed by them to be used as some kind of a sexual crutch. Yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, it makes you feel good. You lose consciousness almost. Someone told me, I have never lost consciousness, thank God. But many women have said, Doctor, I almost lose consciousness when I'm having sex with so-and-so. Oh, he makes me feel so good. But let me tell you what, those good time feelings come to an end. When you have to face bills and creditors and worry about how to pay your rent, what are you going to eat? What are you going to wear? Car done broke down. Mama's sick. You got to hang at the hospital. All those fleeting moments of sexual capacity, they're gone. So if we go to God and ask God to help us put this sexual union in its place, he's going to do that if you're sincere. Because it's not so much feeling bad and dead and embarrassed because you don't have a man. It's not about that. Let's face it. Let us as women stop being fools and cowards. You have to what's between his legs, period, cut and dry. And that's not what God had expected in putting you with the man. He says be a helper. He didn't say be a sex machine. So we've got to get in where we fit in as women and recognize that as a helper, You're going to see that man through life. You're going to be there as someone that he can talk to and lean on. All the prostitutes I talk to say most of the time they don't have sex with these tricks or johns or men. They left and talk all night. Be someone that has a listening ear. Whether as a wife or whatever, significant other, girlfriend, you really don't want him. You want what's between his legs. Knowing you don't want him, you don't want to show up with him, can't be seen around the corner with him. Come on now, somebody understand what I'm saying. Put this thing, get this thing in its perspective. Yeah, you're going to feel dead. If that's all you're expecting out of life is a few fleeting moments of sexual fame, yes, you're going to feel dead. But let's look at your children. Let's look at your neighbors. Look at your parents that birthed you. You don't want to be an embarrassment to them. Many, many people know when women are just with men just for sex. You know, it used to be, oh, he going to take care of me, girl. Oh, yeah, girl, I done met a bald head, older, whatever. Yeah, he got two homes. He going to take care of me. That used to be the talk of the town. It's changed now. You know why it's changed? Because women got their own money, their own houses, their own bank accounts, their own cars, and they'll boast and brag on any street corner that I got this, I bought this. Ain't nobody have to give me a dime. Ain't nobody have to give me a dime. Not one dime, not one dime, not one dime, not one dime. And I tell you the truth, if you really think about it, you already did. You're as women, when you're not doing what God say do in your life, you're already dead. Let's stop hiding behind a man's penis. Let's stop that. I'd rather drink Johnny Walker Black than hide behind a man's penis if I'm feeling bad, depressed, despondent. But I'm not saying go back to alcohol if you've been an alcoholic. I'm not saying start to be an alcoholic if you're not. Feeling dead without a man, don't hide behind that. Like I said earlier, men are men and women are women. Women, most women that you talk to today would tell you, I don't want no man. I don't want a man, but they got all those sex contraptions in their closet, in their dresser drawer. Oh, I don't want a man. What they're meaning is that they don't want all the responsibility of taking care of a man, being with a man for nothing but for sex. Many say, oh, I can do that to myself. I don't need a man. So all this morbid thinking has put women in a bad situation. It's put our households in a bad situation. You got women that have been killed over sex. You got women that have put their health at risk over sex, a man's penis. You got women that will say, oh, you know what, I don't want to go down on him, but he's going to leave me if I don't suck his penis. And you know where I'm laying it out here. You guys may have heard some of that, knowing that there's all kind of sexual diseases. Gonorrhea now is in such a strain, there's no drug that can practically treat it. Don't think about a cure. Gonorrhea, syphilis of the 60s and 70s now is back. All of these sex-generated diseases, because women are going around unfulfilled. They are not putting their trust in God. They're not leaning on God to be whatever they need in their lives. And many women used to say when I was growing, oh, I'm waiting on God to send me a man. Oh, I done prayed to God all night long. I've been praying for 2 years for a man. I'm going to wait. God. Get off of that. Stop it. The Bible says nothing about that. The Bible says be patient for all things. But the Bible never said that God is going to take out of his time to send nobody a man. He's already told you, if you walk upright and call on my name, I'm going to save you. And when God saves you, he's going to save you for a purpose. And if a man is in your purpose, you got that. It must be true, because he said, that is why I'm creating you, because it is not good for the man to be alone. Didn't say nothing about a sex relationship. Adam had a penis then when he created woman. But God did not put that first and foremost. He said it is not good for a man to be alone, period, cut and dry, alone toiling and tilling the garden, alone walking through the garden, alone, alone, alone. He said it is not good for man to be alone, not to be taken for a sexual machine. And this is what makes men angry. They know when a woman really doesn't love them for who they are, for their qualities, for the way they look, for the way they dress, for the way they wear their hair. They know if she's just laying in the cut to spread her legs open. They know that. And this is why we have a lot of problems with men in relationships today, because most men would tell you, if you take a poll on what does a man want in a woman, they're not going to put sex at the top of the list. You know what they're going to put at the top of the list? A good companion, number one. Number two, someone to talk to. Number three, someone that's kind. And number four, beautiful. They're going to have all those things there because they know if you can get along with each other, if you can talk with each other, if you share similar interests, if your dispositions are almost similar, guess what? Anything that happens in the bedroom is going to be good. On your feet, thinking, loving, and living dictates what's going to happen in the bedroom. So women, there's no reason to feel dead. What you really are probably saying is that you feel dead without the God of the universe in your life, first and foremost, being your number one companion. If you make God first, He's going to make anyone else first in your life. You don't have to worry about nothing. God created the man, He created you. He knows what the man can do and what He equipped him to do in you also. So if you put God first, and take up this slogan, for God I live and for God I die, God's going to make everything okay. But if we put all of these different ideologies on the sexual union, you're already dead. You're already dead without no hope for a resurrection because you're putting the creature first and not the creator God. You're putting the act of sex ahead of what you know you need to be doing, and that's getting your life together first. I wouldn't want a man if he was broken and if he was ill and if he was sick and if there was a lot of other problems in his life, such as financial, you name it. What are you going to do with that man? Now, you might befriend him and try to help him along the way. I said, as a friend, befriend him. But to make that man part of a marital union, if you love him at all, you would wait. You want to give him a chance to get his act together. There's nothing wrong with talking to someone that you care about a few times a week. But here's the problem with that. Like attract like. They say opposites attract opposites. Opposites attract. But then once you get yourself in a position where you have a problem, later on, after you've said, I do, you automatically know you're going to curse the day that you were born. Because these unions, once they're solidified and consummated by the sexual union, here comes that hormone that's going to bind two killers together, irrespective. Two nutcases together, irrespective. That hormone is no respecter of persons. The Bible says that when He put the human pair together, He meant for them to last through a lifetime into eternity. Man and woman. It wasn't no hop skipping around changing marital partners. So He created the hormone there that sealed the deal, that sticky glue that sealed the deal. And when those hormones burst together during that sexual union, there's something spiritual and supernatural that acts as a binding glue. He might be in Australia, she in Hong Kong. You're going to crave. You're going to have feelings. You're going to have leanings toward that person. Now, what if you have the wrong person? What if you have someone you hate on their feet but love in the sack? You know you're going to have a messed up problem there. You're going to be mentally messed up. But you know that's part of Satan's plot. Satan is using sex today to destroy everything on two feet. He knew what God said by multiplying. So he's turned that into a diabolical plan as a tool to help destroy the world. Not just America, but the world. So what are some of the ways we can come back to life if we feel dead without a man? But number one, I've already mentioned it. You want to put God first. You want to go to God and say, God, oh God, in the name of Jesus, help me, please. I messed up. I've slept with him and I messed up. That hormone, oxytocin, is set in. I messed up. You're God of grace and mercy. I know your son told the adulterous woman, I go that way, sin no more. God, I need forgiveness, but I'm weak. I got it for him. I'm weak. Have mercy and help me. Help me to put you first and not John's penis first. I don't need any more problems. I got enough troubles. That's why I'm calling on you right now. I need your covering. Help me, God, in the name of Jesus. Number one, we've got to put God first. God knows when you're not putting him first. And if you want to put a pile of, a six-foot pile of dust ahead of God, be my guest. But you're going to pay a price, an emotional price. You're going to suffer. Now, if you've got suffering time, as Grandma used to say, go for it. But she said, I ain't got time to suffer. Hallelujah. Number two, you want to get yourself together. How do you do that? Put yourself first for God. If you put God first, then he's going to put you first. How does a woman look and act when God puts them at the head of the line? Number one, she takes care of herself. She practices love and devotion out in her community. She's a woman known for good works, not good sexual acts in the bedroom, but a woman known for good works in the community, someone that takes care of children and the elderly, someone that treasures and honors wisdom, understanding, and education. Men, that's what men are looking for. And I tell women, most men that have been raised in a good family, they're looking for a mother image. Most men will say, oh, my mama used to cook like that. Oh, my mama used to get on me about picking up after myself. Yeah, yeah, mama, yeah, yeah, mama. Men, secretly, that's what they're looking for. My husband told me, my second husband said, you know, you look just like my mom. And, of course, we stayed together many years before he died of cancer. But I want to let you know this. Men are looking not so much for the beauty queen, but someone that they can talk to, walk with, and are somewhat compatible with. They'll figure the sex thing out later. So will you. But women, you want to get yourselves together. You want to be all that you can be. Offer a man something worth having while you're on your feet. That sex thing is going to fade out. Trust me. Most of us know this. The glitz and the glamour after that first year of honeymoon time, getting to know each other, sex all day long, all night long, yeah, yeah, yeah. After a while, here comes the crushing reality. You've got to work on your feet on keeping that marriage together. That oxytocin may be drying up and drying out, but you've got to be on your feet 24/7 to share meals together, share walks together, share spiritual relationships together, share emotions. That takes work. The work that you put on in the bedroom now becomes work in the real world on the feet. So you want to get yourself together. Number three, and lastly, you want to let the world know that you stand for justice. A woman of justice is going to call a man of spiritual justice, emotional and physical justice into a world. And when there's justice, there's peace. And when there's peace in a union, you don't have to think about feeling dead without a man. You got the man, and without trouble. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to have another blockbuster topic next Saturday, same place, same time, right from your couch or your bed. Dr. Cupertino, Show Hour for Power. If you have any questions, email me at mothernature7@gmail.com, or give me a call at 424-634-9615. And until next week, thank you for tuning in. God bless you to the Dr. Cupertino Show, Hour for Power.